Hi there. I'm here with A. Sebesta, author of the just-released book AI for the Curious and Confused, A Field Guide. Welcome. Let's jump right in. Give us a short summary of the book.
All right, I love this. Let's get right to it. So AI for the Curious and Confused is a super short primer on AI. This new technology kind of just exploded onto the scene a few years ago, and it's just been like this wild ride. I've had a front row seat to it, and I'm still left speechless almost every time a new model comes out. So this book is designed to give us, all of us really, a really strong foundation in AI. It's not designed to be a deep dive or for experts. It's for the majority of us who see this new technology but can't really understand what it means for ourselves, for our work, for our world, and we just want to know a little bit more. It breaks down the jargon into understandable analogies and some silly, stupid metaphors. I don't assume that you have any technical knowledge. I surely have a very limited set myself, so I couldn't make it too complex because then I wouldn't have been able to write it. It's designed to be a short read. I kind of went in with this mindset of, you can finish it in just a couple of trips to the bathroom. That's what I was thinking when I wrote it. So there are loads of books about AI that go way deeper than this one, and that's really great. But I wasn't going to read them. But now after writing this book, maybe I will. I feel more confident and comfortable and honestly excited about AI, and that's what I hope for readers.
I love that. I'm excited about AI myself. Let's get into this a little more. What led you to write this book?
It's funny. I didn't really set out to write a book. And so it's kind of this, as I reflected on it, like this twofold piece that led to the book actually becoming a reality. So first of all, I learn by writing. I have to write to figure out how something works or even to figure out my opinion about something. I have to write. So as AI came kind of barreling into the world, I was doing a lot of writing. And this book came out of that writing. A lot of the sections were written independently, not as part of the book, but as some of my work to better understand AI for myself. And slowly it just kind of came together as a book. I didn't set out to write a book, but as I looked at those pieces, it really felt like, man, this could be a cohesive thing, not just like a series of independent blogs or posts or something. And then secondly, and kind of specifically, about the time I was deep into writing about AI for myself, X article, of all things, kind of exploded onto the scene. It just got like bonkerballs views, like 80 million views in just a couple of weeks. It was crazy. It's unheard of, you know, for almost any online content, much less like an X article, bizarre. It was called Something Big is Coming, and it was by Matt Schumer, and I'll put a link on our website for it. It really struck a chord for me and my husband. It kind of put into words what a lot of people who were at the forefront of AI were feeling and seeing. And, you know, so I felt this responsibility to share it. There's something happening here, and most people around us have no idea that it's happening. There's this huge revolution coming, or it's already here. And we were hearing nothing about it from our family and our friends and coworkers. It's just kind of nothing. And so the article, we shared it with people. We talked about it a little bit. But honestly, you know, it didn't hit others the way it hit us. And so I got to thinking, well, what would I write instead? Or what would I write in response to this? How would I explain what was happening as I see it? And the realization I had was that this article was like way too far down the line for most people, myself included, if I'm being honest. It was technical and nebulous, and while I think for the most part accurate, most of us didn't have enough foundation to understand the implications of it. And that's when I really started thinking about this content I was writing as a book. I could use that kind of foundation, and then we could build up to understanding some of these broader implications that are happening. But we have to start at the fundamentals.
That's fascinating. I also read that article and found it interesting and, yeah, a bit frightening.
Yeah, frightening and interesting is probably the best description of that article. It was really that combination of both for me. It had some really great insights, but also there was this kind of fear about it, too. And that fear is still there for me. It's kind of oddly motivating. It makes me want to at least be aware of what's happening in this space. I really don't think you can stick your head in the sand on this. There's too much change that's coming to pretend, you know, that it doesn't exist. So when I first started thinking of this as a book, I had this like tongue-in-cheek title, Left Behind, How to Avoid Becoming Part of the Permanent Underclass. And That's a horrible name for a host of reasons, but there is kind of this kernel of truth there. I'm really concerned about the implications of AI on our work and our economy, and I don't want anybody to be left behind. I don't want to see the people who can use AI be this small group at the top. AI can help everyone. It's not a fixed pie. But if you don't eat the pie, you don't get your piece. And so you need to learn about it and learn how it can help you so that it doesn't hurt you.
Let's step back now. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background and how has that shaped how you view AI?
Yeah, it's an interesting journey to how I got to where I am today. So I started out my career after college as an immigration advisor at a couple of universities in Texas. And in that role, we're responsible for helping international students come to the U.S. to study and stay here legally. So we supported the students to get all their documentation right, but we also supported the government making sure that we did the proper reporting so that they knew where all their students were and what they were doing. And so it was a really important piece of work for those international students. Everything had to be right, but there was a lot of processes and systems that you had to follow. And you had deadlines. And so we had a lot of students, and that was a lot to manage. But thankfully, I had a really great boss who really instilled in me the value of systems and processes and the value of technology. So we were one of the first offices in the country to scan all of our immigration files. Immigration files are kind of these behemoth beasts with all the documentation necessary to do. And so we ended up turning all of those into digital records so that we didn't have to have paper files, and also we could access those documents more easily. And so it really allowed me through that process to see the value of technology, and then we had these really great systems kind of set up to manage all of those students. And through that, you know, I learned... I say that I'm a generalist, meaning, you know, I can take that skill set of systems, processes, and utilizing technology and apply it really to any industry. But also in the same way is that what can we do to make things easier such that we have more time for people? So if I got those systems right in my immigration role, I was able to spend more time actually talking to the students rather than just doing paperwork. I used to say that, you know, I had the world on my couch every single day because these students would come in and we would just sit on the couch in the reception area and chat. And I was able to do that because I had great systems, great processes, and I leveraged technology in ways that a lot of other offices weren't at the time. And so that kind of idea of how technology and systems and processes can help enhance interaction and enhance relationships really drives me today. In addition to that, I also had a second career. I moved into education, and I was a high school social studies teacher. And, you know, I've always loved teaching, and I don't teach currently, but I always say it was the hardest job I've ever done, and it's probably one of the hardest jobs in the world. You know, even when I moved into kind of management and I was an executive at a nonprofit, those days were hard and busy and overworked, but there's something different when there's 20 plus kids staring at you at 7:30 in the morning. What are we doing today? And what are you going to try to make me do? And I'm not going to do it. And then just, you know, the amount of preparation and work that goes into that at all times is really just, it's an incredibly challenging career. And I'm so thankful for educators who do that. But I taught in a lot of different settings. I taught in a, you know, public school, I taught in a private Christian school, I taught at a hybrid online in-person new model of education for at-risk or at-promise youth in Colorado. And I taught ESL for adults in the U.S., and I taught ESL to children in South America. And so I have kind of all these varied educational experiences, which really helps me think about how do people absorb new knowledge? How do they get it into their brains? How do they process it? And then how do they keep that knowledge? And so kind of bringing that side of my life into this book, I think, makes it kind of stand out because I'm not an expert in AI, but I am someone who knows how people learn, and I want to bring that into this book to help it be a little more accessible than what I found with some of the AI books that I read prior to this, that are just really for more technical people than me, at least, and maybe a few of you out there as well.
We want to keep this interview short and sweet today, but I hope you'll join us again soon. Let's end with this. What are some of the things you've created with AI?
I'll say this. I feel behind on AI. And if you ask anybody who works in AI, I think you'll hear the same thing. And so while I have done a few things with AI, there's so much more I could and should be doing. But I'm trying, and I try to keep up with it, but it's moving so fast. And so, you know, the few things that I've done feel so small compared to what other people are doing, but I feel like that just carries down the line or up the line. And so, you know, some of the things I've done, like my son and I built a reading timer. So every time he reads for 15 minutes, he gets 5 minutes of video game play time. It's probably not the right ratio because my son reads incessantly, and so he can probably have unlimited game time if we actually tracked every moment he was reading. So we've had to cut back on that a little bit, but it was really fun to build that timer with him. We made it look like Minecraft, and he could start it and stop it, and we added features. And so that was just like a fun little thing to build for yourself or for ourselves, and those are the sort of things that I think are really fun to play around with as you're getting used to it. In kind of a more serious scale, my husband, who is very technical, and I put together an app called PicCal, Picture Calendar. It takes photos or screenshots and uploads events to your calendars based on that. So think like your academic calendar for your school or a soccer schedule for your kids. You can just upload it to the app, and it'll create calendar events for each one of those things. So that was a really neat way to really get more deep into it. It was something that I don't know that we would have undertaken previously, but through some of the AI tools that existed, we were able to build it much faster. But also, again, with the technology of being able to read pictures really well, we couldn't have done this with just general OCR, you know, image reading software that existed prior to AI. So that's something that came out, and then we built out this entire marketing pipeline through it. So it would, you know, create ads for our target audience on Facebook and Instagram, and, you know, created the whole thing from images to text to what the post was going to say, built the ads in Facebook and Instagram. Really a robust marketing a company, basically. And so that's how we've been trying to share that app with the world. And it's been really cool to watch it do what used to take me hours each day to do. It would do in, you know, less than 4 hours, and we had a month's worth of content. So it was really fun to kind of go through that. Other things, I use it for making music for PicCal. I love creating songs, and I'm not a musician at all. And I know there's a lot of opinions about using AI to create art, but it's really allowed me to be an artist in ways that, you know, my brain wants to be, but my abilities lack. And so that's something that I've really enjoyed, is developing art and developing music. And, you know, again, I value human art, but I also value my creativity explosion that's happened since I've been able to do some of this. So that's been a lot of fun. So those are just a few small ones. There's some other ones that I've done, you know, of course, some websites, the website for this book. And that's been really fun to kind of build out these websites as I need them. And then, you know, again, oftentimes just as prototypes. So I do a lot of prototyping and personal use things, but I'm trying to learn how to get things more developed such that I could release them more broadly.
Thanks for listening in today. You can purchase a copy of the book on Amazon. Check it out, and don't forget to leave a review.